Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. I'm sure that you've noticed by now that our theme this morning is the whole theme of remember. And I think all of us know, you know, that memories play a very powerful, very important part of each one of our lives. I mean, let's face it, sometimes those memories are difficult. And sometimes painful memories sort of crash into our mind like an army tank, uninvited and unexpected. Memories of embarrassment, memories of failure, memories of abuse, memories of rejection. We don't like those kinds of memories. And yet, oftentimes, pleasant memories also surprise us. And they bring a smile to our face. They bring maybe joy to our hearts. Memories of a romantic weekend. Memories of a home run, memories of a beautiful sunset, memories of kind words, meaningful words spoken by a good friend. This past week, a friend who I have not seen for 40 years actually sent me a photograph, and you can see it here. And the guy on the bottom right sent me this. And this is a picture, a photograph of our fourth grade basketball team. That's me with my game face on the far left. And one of our elders said to me, you know, you have the same look today. But let me tell you, we were good. And that's a pleasant memory. That's a good memory. Sometimes we don't want to remember the bad, but we do. Sometimes we desperately want to remember the good, but we can't. And sometimes we have a hard time remembering anything at all. I heard a story about three elderly sisters, and their names were Wanda, Martha, and Wilma. And they lived together in their old age. One day, Wanda went upstairs to run some bath water. She stuck her foot in the water, and then she stopped. She looked around, and she said to herself, "Was I getting in the bath or out of the bath? I can't remember." So she called to Martha, "Martha, come up to the bathroom. I can't seem to remember if I was getting in the bath or out." Martha muttered to herself, "You senile old woman, what do you mean you can't remember if you were getting in the bath or out?" So Martha headed up the stairs. She got about halfway up, stopped, looked around and said, "Was I going up the stairs or down? I can't remember." So she called to Wilma in the kitchen. "Wilma, would you come here? I can't remember if I was going up the stairs or down." Wilma sarcastically said under her breath, "You senile woman, Martha, I can't believe you can't remember if you were going up the stairs or down. Thank goodness I'm not as forgetful as you are. Knock on wood." Then she stopped, looked around, and asked, "Was that someone knocking at my front door or my back door?" The importance of remembering is something that the Bible actually talks a lot about. I mean, think about it. Way back to the Passover. So God wants his people to remember year after year after year that great event where he delivered them from slavery in Egypt. And so he gives them this annual festival called the Passover. So they wouldn't forget, so they would remember. And then fast forward a little bit, and the people of Israel are crossing over the Jordan River. And after they cross, remember what God said to them? He said, "Listen, I want you to take 12 stones from that river. And when you get to a city in the promised land called Gilgal, I want you to stack them up." Joshua said, "These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." And of course, part of the reason that was necessary is because they and we were so prone to forget. Israel forgot. In the 78th Psalm, it says they did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by God's law. And listen to what he says next. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. How often, like them, do we forget? And I believe the Apostle Paul understood this. He understood this especially as he wrote his final letter to a young man named Timothy. So here Paul is, just imagine him, if you will. He's at the end of his life. He is a battle-worn soldier of the cross. He had given himself unreservedly to Jesus Christ. Nothing Jesus had asked of him was too much. So he'd faced hardship. He had been misunderstood countless times. He had been arrested falsely, ridiculed, beaten. He had survived a near-fatal crash at sea. He was about to face his own execution. But along the way, he had trained this young man named Timothy to take over his work. And Paul had high hopes for him. But Paul knew much too well the pressures Timothy would face day after day. And so in the very last letter Paul wrote, he said to Timothy these words, chapter 2, verse 8, 2 Timothy, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. 10 words. In 10 words, Paul made the greatest plea and he offered the greatest encouragement. In this letter, Paul had already given Timothy some strategies for pastoring this church that he was pastoring. He had talked to Timothy about how to select leaders. He had talked to Timothy about how to deal with divisive people. He had talked to Timothy about how to fight temptation. All important advice for a young leader. But the most important thing he could share with young Timothy were these 10 words. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descendant of David. And these words, of course, are especially meaningful today because Easter is a day that we remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. And so I just want to offer you, in our time together here, I just want to offer you 4 reasons why remembering this is perhaps the most important thing you will ever do. Number one, we should remember this because it is an established fact of history. This is not just some kind of hopeful myth. It's true. It really happened. Jesus of Nazareth was born of a woman named Mary, who was from the line of King David, which qualified him to be the Messiah. When Paul says to remember Jesus Christ, he certainly meant to remember his humanity, but also to remember his whole way of life on earth. I mean, think about his life. He was committed to obeying the will of the Father, even if it meant death. He had compassion like none of us have ever seen for the people God had created. The Bible simply says Jesus went about doing good. He healed the sick. He cared for children. He loved and accepted the so-called throwaways of society. Part of that is remembering his teaching as well. I mean, people who heard him teach were absolutely mesmerized. His words had that ring of truth, so much so that some even said, never has anyone spoken like this man. To this day, no one has ever come close to speaking words filled with such power and wisdom and insight. His words challenge us to look deep within ourselves. His words invite us to accept God's reckless grace. I mean, who else could say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Who says that? We're also to remember his death. We're to never stop remembering that he willingly offered himself for people like us. I think it's important that we remember how blood and spit were caked to his cheeks and how his lips were cracked and swollen from dehydration. I think it's important for us to remember how thorns ripped open his scalp, how his lungs gasped for air, how his legs knotted with cramps while he hung alone, forsaken on the cross for our sins. Remember Jesus Christ. He was a descendant of David. It's a fact of history. But most importantly, we're to remember because the resurrection is a fact of history. Did you know the most successful trial attorney to ever live in the history of the world is a guy by the name of Sir Lionel Luckhoo? In July of 1985, Luckhoo won his 245th consecutive murder acquittal. Now, you would suspect a guy like that to be a very smart guy with trained analytical skills. He certainly must have been an expert in what constitutes admissible evidence, reliable evidence. What would a man like that say about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? During his own spiritual journey, Luckhoo set out to research this one thing. And when it was all said and done, as he matched that up according to legal evidence, he concluded these words. He said, "I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming, it leaves absolutely no room for doubt." Isn't that amazing? Modern day research has revealed the same thing. Men like Frank Morrison, Josh McDowell, and Lee Strobel have presented overwhelming evidence for the resurrection. So we should remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, not because the moral of the story might give us some kind of like faint hope that somehow, some way in our life, some good might come out of bad, like one of Aesop's fables, but because it's true. And since it's true, we know that everything Jesus said about himself is true as well. And that leads to the second thing. We should remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead because it confirms that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. You see, it's not just an event we're to remember, it's a person. Paul doesn't say, "Remember the resurrection." He says, "Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead." But the resurrection of Christ says something about the person and the identity of Christ. His life, his deeds, and his claims are confirmed, authenticated by the resurrection. Just recently, a few weeks ago, I ran across a sign in front of a church here on the peninsula inviting folks to their Easter service this year, today. Here it is. These are folks, this is a church where they purport to follow the ethics, the morality, the teaching of Jesus, but they deny his resurrection. And that's why they've asked the question, "What if we don't take the resurrection seriously?" But you can't have one without the other. You can't have his teaching and his claims if he was not raised from the dead, as the scriptures say. I mean, Jesus made some audacious claims. I hope you know that. I mean, Jesus essentially said, "Listen, to know me is to know God. To see me is to see God. To believe in me is to believe in God. To receive me is to receive God. And to hate me is to hate God." On one occasion, he was speaking in the company of some of his critics, religious leaders of the day. And he made a statement. He said, "Listen, if anyone believes in me, he shall never see death." And the religious leaders were just, they were just so offended that he would say something like that. And so they shot back at him. And they said, "Wait a minute, Jesus, are you saying you're greater than our father Abraham? Because Abraham died." You know what Jesus said? He said, "Let me tell you the truth. Before Abraham was, I am. I am. I am." Now, every Jewish person that heard him that day would understand that that's the name that God gave to Moses. That's the holy name, Yahweh. I mean, Jesus was claiming to be Yahweh. He was saying he's God. And that's why the scripture says that immediately they picked up stones to cast at him, because that was a capital crime, to claim to be God. That's an audacious claim that Jesus made. Now, anyone could make that claim. I mean, I could stand up here today and I could tell you, "You know what? I've known a lot of you for 30 years, and it's been good to get to know you. And I'm finally here to tell you the truth about myself. I'm God. What are you laughing at? No. I mean, you'd laugh. Of course you'd laugh. Anybody would laugh. Because I can't back that up, right? But Jesus backed it up. You see, that's why in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, he said that Jesus was declared the Son of God with power by what he said? No. By the resurrection from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus was God's exclamation point on his claim to be the Son of God. It was God saying yes to his claims to be the Son of God. How do we know Steph Curry is one of the greatest three-point shooters in the history of basketball? Because he says it? No, because he's on track to make over 400 three-point shots this year. How do we know Jesus Christ is who he said he was, the Son of God? Because he rose from the dead. This leads to the third reason we should remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. We should remember because it assures us of his presence today. So Jesus Christ is with us today. He's here in this room. He is not just a memory. We don't just hold him in our hearts, so to speak. He is a living, real presence. It's like that old poem by St. Patrick you've probably heard. I love it. Christ be with me. Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Now that sounds great, but let's face it, it's hard to believe that he's really with us when life starts beating us up. That's when we have a tendency to forget. And I think Paul understood this. Again, Paul, as he wrote this letter to Timothy, he sat in a damp, dark prison cell in Rome, awaiting trial and execution. So Paul was old, he was beaten, he was worn down. So many of his friends had deserted him. He knew this was it. And Timothy's situation, to be honest, wasn't a whole lot better. Timothy was pastoring a small band of new believers in the port city of Ephesus. By the way, Ephesus was a lot like the Bay Area. It was beautiful. It was prosperous. It was a melting pot of cultures and beliefs, some of which were not all that friendly to the cause of Christ. In fact, some of the people in Timothy's own church would just as well have run him out of town. So these were not the brightest and best days to be a follower of Jesus. Both Paul and Timothy were in a battle. And there are times in our own lives where that's what it is. Times when our lives look more like Good Friday than Easter Sunday. When the darkness of the cross overshadows the brightness of the resurrection. There are times when the fog of sin and evil and despair is so thick. It's like, that's all I can see. Maybe a loved one is diagnosed with a terminal illness. A daughter runs away from home. We lose our job. We go through a divorce or a miscarriage. It's in those times that we need to remember Jesus Christ. Not just hanging on a cross. Not just a distant memory that gives us some good feelings. But risen from the dead. And with us, even in our darkest moments. David Livingstone in the last century said, I go through the jungles of Africa and Jesus is by my side. Savonarola, the great preacher of the 12th century in Florence, said, they may kill me, they may tear me in pieces, but never, never, never shall they tear from my heart the living Jesus. And Samuel Rutherford, one of the great Scottish Covenanters, put in jail for his faith in the 17th century, said from jail, Jesus Christ came into my cell yesterday and every stone shone like a jewel. Those are people who remembered Jesus Christ raised from the dead and present, really present with them. And so they could face their battles and their struggles with this inner impartation of strength and grace and hope and comfort. That's the living presence of Jesus. So when we remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, we are not just remembering some far ago event. We're remembering one who's with us today. There's no obstacle. There's no enemy in your life that is greater than he. Do you believe that? And so you are here today, and whatever you are going through, whatever challenge you are facing, I want you to know that he is right there with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you, never forsake you. Do you believe that? It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can believe that. Here's the fourth and final reason to remember. Because his resurrection guarantees our resurrection. See, he conquered death. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus' resurrection is the first fruits of those who have died. So that means he was first. We're next. That means our resurrection is going to look like his resurrection. And it's true. If you want to know what happens after death, look at the life of Jesus. Look at what happened to him. And he would teach us that two things happen when we die. First, there is an immediate separation from the body. Spirit separated from the body. Seconds before Jesus breathed his final breath, he exhaled these words, Father, into your hands I commit my what? Spirit. So Jesus' body was buried in a tomb, but his spirit went to be with the Lord. Now you might think, well, that's good. That's all. That's all there is. That's not all there is. Things weren't finished yet. There was still the resurrection of the body. After 3 days, Jesus' body was actually raised from the grave. It was his body. It was a real body. It wasn't a ghost. He showed them his scars on his hands and on his side. He ate a meal with them, remember, by the Lake of Galilee. The good news, the gospel, the whole reason we celebrate Easter is that that was the first fruits. And what happened to him will happen to anyone who puts his trust, puts her trust in him. One day when Jesus returns, his followers, and the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, his followers will meet him in the air. And we will be absolutely transformed into his likeness. In fact, the Bible says when we see him, we shall be like him. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't mean we're going to be God. But the work that he has started in us now to conform us into the image of Christ, which, by the way, we've been learning all about in Romans, that work of transformation, which begins now, will actually be completed. And we're going to be like him. Wow. And that means all the suffering and all the trials and all the heartache that we go through is not the final word. Rick Warren is, as probably most of you know, or many of you know, he's the pastor at Saddleback Church down in Southern California. He wrote a famous book many years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. And he and his wife, Kay, went through a very, very devastating and painful time when their 27-year-old son, Matthew, took his own life. After battling depression and mental illness for many, many years. About a year after that tragedy, Rick said this, I have often been asked, how have you made it? How have you kept going in your pain? I've often replied, the answer is Easter. You see, the death and the burial of the resurrection of Jesus happened over 3 days. Friday was the day of suffering and pain and agony. Saturday was the day of doubt and confusion and misery. But Easter, that Sunday, was the day of hope and joy and victory. And here's the fact of life. You will face these 3 days over and over in your lifetime. And when you do, you'll find yourself asking, as I did, three fundamental questions. Number one, what do I do in my days of pain? Number two, how do I get through my days of doubt and confusion? And number three, how do I get to the days of joy and victory? The answer is Easter. 10 words. remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descendant of David. Remember because it is a fact of history. Remember because it affirms and confirms the claims that Jesus made to be the Son of God. Remember because it assures us of his living presence with us in all of life. And remember because his resurrection guarantees our resurrection. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ today, as I know many of you are, let me ask you just a simple question. Are you remembering? What's keeping you from remembering? We live in a world of distraction that constantly tries to turn our attention away from him. Even good things turn our attention away from him. We're distracted by the messages that we hear in the media and the entertainment world saying, listen, this is what life is really all about. Go find your true self. You can do and you can be anything. Buy this, eat that, travel here. And if it's not just the media, then life is a way of slowly distracting us from what's most important. And isn't it true that in the daily grind of life and work and family that we forget to remember? I think one of the reasons that God allows pain in our life is to just sort of remind us of what really matters. C.S. Lewis called pain God's megaphone. And I wish he didn't have to use it so often in my life, but he does. To get my attention, to remind me of how desperately I need him, to remind me that this life is not all there is and that we really hope and wait for something so much better. Remember Jesus Christ, believer, raised from the dead, descendant of David. Now, I know that there are some here that are not yet followers of Christ, and maybe today would be the day that you would choose to sort of cross that line of faith and to believe what you thought was impossible. Let me just kind of try to explain what that means for you, okay? Number one, it means that you accept the fact that there is a God in heaven who loves you. He loves you. That's so rudimentary, so important, so significant, but he has a personal God who loves you, and he loves you so much he sent his only begotten Son to die for your sins. That's what the Bible says. So you accept that fact. Second, you actually believe, as we've talked about today, that he rose from the dead. I mean, it's hard to believe that. Let's face it, we don't see resurrections, you know, going on all the time. But as I said, investigate it. It's a fact of history. And so you put your trust in him. You put your hope in him as the one who conquered man's greatest enemy, and that is death. And then third, you just commit your life to him. You surrender your life to him. You call him not just your Savior, but your Lord or your King. And I don't mean by that you get more religious. You know, I'm talking about a personal relationship with the living God. And today, you can begin that relationship by simply praying a prayer, okay? And I'm going to put it up on the screen here so you can see what it is. In fact, I'm going to read it. And as I read it, you just may want to say those words in your heart and take that step of faith. Here it is. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. On the third day, you rose from the dead. Please forgive me of my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. Would you bow your heads with me? Our Father, we want to come before you this morning on this beautiful Easter day, and we want to remember to remember. We want to confess to you how often we forget, how often we are distracted by lesser things, how often even the pain and the struggles of this life consume us to the point that we forget. And so, Lord, our prayer is, as people who want to follow you but do so feebly, that we would once again remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David. That we would not forget that there is more to this life than what we can see. That there is hope even in the midst of the greatest tragedy, greatest enemies of life, death and sin. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who has reached out to us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we want to remember. I pray for those today, Lord, who have not yet crossed that line of faith, that they would simply say today, yes. And they may not understand everything about this Christian life. They may not have it all figured out, and they may feel incredibly unworthy. But Lord, you are a God who sent your Son to die for sinners. And Jesus, you told us that you did not come to save those who were well and those who were all put together and those who were beautiful and those who were successful necessarily, but you came to save those who were sick, those who were lost, and those who were beaten down. So we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descendant of David. Amen.